Open your Bibles to Acts 4:29. Glory to God. I'm so glad I'm in a church alive. I'm so glad, you know, say, well, God doesn't need loud. He's not deaf. Well, God isn't nervous either. And I think he does need loud. According to the Bible, he says, shout all the time. Make a joyful noise. Play those instruments loud. Acts 4:29. You're familiar with this? And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. The church was persecuted, they were threatened. And what they do, they push back by the power of prayer. They push back and they said no. They didn't let people over, you just take them over. And when they did that, the glory broke out. The power broke out. And they received boldness. Boldness, did you know that actually here, boldness, this is outspokenness. This is frankness. This is courage. This is daring. They're willing to do things they didn't do before. And I think that we can see that they had to think beyond themselves. Did they? To move in this place. It was for them, but it was for others. And I'd be incorrect to say, it'd be incorrect for me to say that everything we experience because for the sake of others. You know, a lot of people think, well, I got healed, and so that so-and-so would see that and they would get saved. Well, you know, that's a certainly a side benefit, but it really distorts the issue. Because God delights in showering us with blessings. He delights in healing us. He delights in being close with us. We belong to him, and he wants to do these things. I believe he gives us access to the realms of God simply for our pleasure. He wants us, with the spirit that was just in here a minute ago, the anointing that was just here that's remained, and it's here right now, but he gives us his presence like this for us to enjoy. Yet there is an overriding principle in the kingdom, because it's nearly impossible to experience God and all this goodness, and you can't not talk about it. You're going to say how good it was. Oh, we had a really good time. Or so-and-so got healed. Or we're going to talk about what God has done for us. It just comes supernaturally and naturally. It's just what we want to do. So it's just one of those things that it's just an overriding principle. And it's just the nature of the life with God. And it's this giving that we do. We're giving out what's happening. Miracles happen, and we want to testify about it, and we want to flow with it. Guess what God did? Guess what happened? Look how much fun we had. Look how God favored me and blessed me. So, the kingdom of God cannot be reduced to talks and ideas and principles. Today we will give a talk. You just can't reduce it. You can't reduce the kingdom to that. The kingdom of God, church, is power. It's power. Unlimited power has been granted to us. Those of us who will encounter him over and over will have this power. And he wants us to have it. The kingdom of God is power. And what happens then is each encounter works deeper in our hearts. And it's bringing about this transformation that we need so that we can be trusted with more. Amen. Yeah. We're just moving forward in these things. Yeah, I'm just going to say right here, we're a faith church. We're a word of faith church, and we believe in prosperity. And I know a lot of times Pastor, give me 5 steps to getting what I need in life. I'm giving you a big one right now. His presence. His power. For God has given you the power. power to get wealth. It's about power. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so notice here this scripture. This everything we just talked about is this scripture right here. It's an E320. We call these E320s. These are our encounters. Ephesians 3:20. And that says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So I want you to notice that what goes on around is what goes on in us. So when you have things working in you, when you have God working in you, things around you are going to work right. Amen. But it's all according to the power that's working in you. Now, I'm not making that up. That's what the scripture says. According to the power, yes, you're going to have exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to what you let work out in you. Yes. Amen. So you have to be brave enough not to do this.
Yes, ma'am.
It's true. You have to be brave enough to say, "All right, Holy Spirit, come on."
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. You start doing that, your life starts changing.
Yes.
So I think sometimes that qualifier right there is overlooked, though. People just want exceedingly abundantly above all they can ask or think, but they leave off the second part, according to the power that's working in you.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. So this power, the one working in us, enables us to present Jesus to others in this way. It will meet every human need. See, if you don't have any anointing, you can't meet every need. You know, it's good if someone needs a hearing aid, if you bought them one, but you know what would be better? If they were healed. And it's okay if you bought somebody a wheelchair, but what would be better? Rise up and walk. And can I tell you that Jesus isn't the Lord of the payment? He'd rather you be debt free. Amen. Glory to God. So he wants to meet every need. Could we go on into that? Now, you know, we buy food, we take food, we do this, we do that. We give on every level where people can receive it. But this is talking about us meeting all the human needs like Jesus did.
Amen.
That means that, the sound coming through your guitar could meet needs.
Yes.
The sound coming through your guitar could meet needs. That means the sound coming through your voice can meet needs. That means the sound coming through your hands and whatever it is you all do, can meet needs. That means that the anointing coming off you can meet needs, and it just doesn't have to be that you hope somebody is warm and they'll be okay as they're on their way to their surgery. It means they get healed.
Yes.
Well, now, I don't think you ought to be knocking people having to go. I'm not. If that's the way they go in faith. I'm just telling you there's a higher place to live. There's a higher place to live than having to go on out there and do all that.
That's right.
Amen.
And there's a higher place to live than you being broke.
Yes.
Well, that was good. I'm happy about that. See, the lifestyle we're looking for is going to thrive on impossibilities. Whatever looks like it's impossible, we're going to do it. If it looks like we can't do it, we know we can do it. If you believe, it can be done. And that's where we need to live. That's what this power is revealing, is talking to us about. Now, here's the thing. Those who encounter him on this level, in this boldness level, on this power level, they are more prone to take risks because you know you're, can I just say it like this because we're in Texas, you're packing.
Yeah. Amen.
And you'll take a bigger risk if you know you're packing. Yeah, you will. You will. Now, Texans right now in this room can really relate to that. You'll be all right. But you're willing to take more risk because you know it's not you trying to do something. You got power back in you. We just shouldn't tolerate the absence of the supernatural. We shouldn't. Powerless should be inexcusable. God gave us this power. Well, don't well me. This is Bible. We're not a religion here. We're God's kids, God's sons, God's daughters. So we're going to have to get past, I'm going to use Deb's word, all this trash. That's what Deb says. Well, get rid of all that trash. We're not trying to earn Papa's love. We've got Papa's love. He's the dad. He loves us. So we're in here already, and he's given us these things. A large number of Christians actually believe that we got everything when we were born again, and I would agree with them that it was made available to us when we were born again. But it's obvious that we and they have not received it all. There's just so much more. There's absolutely so much more. And we can't just, those of us here, we can't just boast because we're spirit-filled. Well, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1976. Whew. Y'all don't even know the 1900s, some of y'all. Well, y'all do. Danny, do you? Yeah, you do a little bit. Okay. So, but I'm telling you, that's a long time ago. And what if I said, well, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, 40 years ago. Ooh, Lord, that's right. And that was a good thing. But that's not what the Bible says. It says keep on being filled.
That's right.
Keep on being filled. Keep on enjoying the river. What do people do at the river? They go down and play. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. John said in Matthew 3:11, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Did you know that that word fire there is lightning? That's what the Hebrew says, lightning. Jesus is going to baptize you with lightning. Woo! That's pretty good. He says he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat to the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is not something evil happening to you. Jesus doesn't hurt people. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So, chaff is the unwanted fake stuff. Yeah. I'm telling you, lightning is striking in these days in the church of the living God. Because it's time to get rid of all the fake stuff. Okay, don't get ahead of myself here. So, lightning can come and strike and just burn out that chaff, the unwanted stuff, and it could be somewhat overwhelming when the Holy Spirit hits you sometimes, and you know you don't have to try to be religious and resist it. Just enjoy what God's doing. Some people just flow with their eyes closed, and some people take a run, and some people do different things, but you know. You have evidence of speaking in tongues, things like that. That's all good. And we should just enjoy all those things. And if you think, well, you know, I'm just not used to that. Well, could you get used to some power to help other people? I think you could enjoy it. And I'm preaching to the choir anyway. Praise the Lord. So this is just more than a one-time thing. So the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, anchors you so that the Holy Spirit won't make you, you won't feel, turn into a kook. You won't become granola. Flakes, fruits, and nuts. So you're anchored, but we will look silly to people's flesh sometimes, but I want to tell you, you're going to be surprised how much your silliness is going to win people to the Lord. I'm telling you. Because they can feel the power on you. I feel the power right now. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I love it. Glory to God. Now, and think about this. We're not even mentioning comforter, guide, teacher, all these things that Holy Spirit is. We're just talking about power right now. This is amazing. God inside of us. So we're talking about power encounters. Now, what I want to do from here, I just want to say a couple of things. I want to put some things in perspective, two things. Prophetically for the time we're in, and then I want to give you a bigger picture of something. Let me read you some scriptures. This is Psalm 72:6. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Now here's Hosea 6:3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain upon the earth. So the imagery here is that rain is like the presence of God, right? You see that all over the place? Okay. Isaiah 44:3, there are many. But I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty, and my floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit, and y'all know Joel as well, upon my seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Rivers, streams, pools, rain, outpouring, all used to describe spirit, right? So here's the interesting thing in all these stories that mention giving water, pouring out water, opening up a well, a spring they're going to live by. In all the stories, whatever the problem was that the people had, water was the answer. Water was the answer. So what I'm just trying to tell you is that the outpouring of the Spirit is the Bible cure-all. It, yes, it is. I'm telling you. Now, it's not everything we do. We understand we're word people. We're going to eat the word all the time. We're going to preach the word. There are things that you do, you absolutely do, that you're doing in the kingdom. So I'm not discounting that. But it's just that we need more of him than anything else. We need more of God than anything else. We need more of God than any other person. We need more of God than even the word that he speaks. We need God. Now, he is the word, so don't go. I think y'all know me well enough to know how I feel about the word. But we need God. Holy Spirit wrote that word. We need God. We need his presence. We need his power. And they understood that on the day of Pentecost. We need power. And we have power. And I just want to tell you that he is right now on the scene, coming like rain in heavy downpours. Amen. And we need to get in it. He's right now in these early stages of pouring out a spirit on all flesh, according to Joel, according to Peter. Well, what does that look like? Well, it in the old days, they'd have called it revival. And these days, we call it awakening. We call it the Spirit being poured out. We call it what the Bible calls it. What does it look like with us? Well, it looks like change. It looks like fun. It looks like drunkenness sometimes. It looks like something a religious person will have to shake off a little bit. You know? It looks like manifestations of things. We'll just go a little bit further. I'll help you with that. But I want to ask you this question. Are you going to get in on it? Well, you know, I'm a man, and I don't know if I can do that. Well, I'm around these men all the time, and they do it. Yeah. Praise God. Need to go back and watch some of Brother Hagin's YouTubes and see Kenneth fall out of his seat. And it's called When the Spirit Gets to Moving. Hey, I want to do and be with God. I want to see Him and know Him and whatever it takes to bring more change so that I can be more for Him. I know you do too. So the answer to that question is yes, right? Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to take you into another room right now. Let's go into the real room on this. This is Psalm 67:1. To the chief musician on the guitar. God be merciful or gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Think about it. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Did you get that? I'm going to read to you again. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. Here is a direct connection. God's face shining on us and salvation of souls among the nations. We can't ignore this, church. We must not resist the blessing of the Lord. We cannot think that this is what happens when you get tangled up in religion. I just want to be humble, and I just want to be, you know, good. So I don't want to be selfish. So I'm not gonna want anything. That only hinders what you're gonna do for other people, including your family. So that's just a religious thing. Well, you know, we just need to be broke because it'll make us more humble. Well, really? I don't think that's how it works. And I'm using prosperity, but in any way. Well, I just need to be. I don't want to be that person who is the man of power in God's hour or whatever. You know. Well, don't worry. You're not going to be. Hey, that's not what we're looking for. Amen. But we can't ignore the blessing. His blessing on us is what will turn the hearts of the unbelievers. Not just financially blessing. That's good. I'm talking about peace and power. Power on your life. Prosperity is the lowest thing on the totem pole there. It's good. But I'm talking about power coming off of you. Now listen to this. See, well, I got to just say this one thing. When you're blessed, people start seeing His goodness.
Oh, that's good. That is good.
And that's what we're looking for God to see His goodness. Now listen to this scripture. This is Ezekiel 39:29. I found this today. I think it's really good. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Newsflash. God's face is revealed in the outpouring of the Spirit. When Holy Spirit comes in power to transform lives in churches or in cities, the faiths of God is within reach. And His face expresses His heart. Who is He and what is He like? Well, here's what I need you to catch. Not all recognize God's face in the outpouring. Walk with me. When the rain comes, many people will fixate on the effects of the storm. When they do, they miss what the one who is revealed in the cloud. Oh, well, we had the glory cloud. Well, we had the gold. Well, we had, well, good, but there's a deeper focus here. Man, I sowed a seed and I got a thousandfold return. But there's a deeper focus. Okay. It's not just the glory cloud. So the extreme joy, the weeping, the shaking and the trembling, the visions, the dreams, the healing, the deliverance, and all the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, these are all revelations of His face. He's that good. He's just that good. Some people love the manifestations and some don't. And they'll reject them. But the sobering thing to realize is that our response to the move of the Spirit is not a response to the manifestations. Rather, it is a response to the face of God. So when people deny the move of the Holy Spirit, well, you don't want to go over there. They're just being all emotional. And now, wait a minute. Are we? Or are we just falling in love again over and over with the presence of Almighty God and loving our Father? And willing not to be so proud that we'll demonstrate our love by raising our hands. And everything else I just mentioned, by moving in the gifts. Because when God gives you a prophetic word, He's saying, I love, 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 love you. When God heals your body, when He just touches you and just heals your body, He's saying, I love you. And you don't have to have this because there's power. When He prospers you or favors you, He's saying, hey, son, I love you. Here, take this. This is yours. It's the face of God. All of the gifts of the Spirit, it's the face of God. He's wanting you to see who He really is. And this is all about what's in our heart. Moses' heart was different than Israel's heart. They knew the acts of God, but Moses knew His ways. Is that right? See, the ways of God are actually discovered through the acts of God. But you'll have to be hungry enough to see it. You have to look a little deeper. See, I think that's the problem with Christians who are still in the religious world or still in a lot of their carnality stuff. They can't see beyond that. They're just like, well, you know. I heard some kids came here visiting with some of the people one time, and it was a Holy Ghost blowout. And two of the kids commented, well, it just all sounded like a bunch of chaos and jibber-jabber to me. Well, you remember when God spoke to Jesus and said, son, da-da-da-da-da, you know? And some thought it thundered. See? It's their perception. They could only hear the thunder. Some thought it was angels. That was their level. But Jesus heard Father's voice. You can hear Father's voice. You can see Father in it. You can get deeper in there than just, well, it just looks like a bunch of people running around like chickens or waving their hands in the air and whatever, dancing around or whatever. Well, you went out there to the other place and danced. You went to the football game and painted yourself purple or blue or orange. But that was okay. See how silly it is. It's silly. And people are like, well, you know, we don't want to give to get something back. And besides that, we need our money because we're going out to Las Vegas this weekend. I'm going to give something to get something back. See how silly it is? But see, this is a higher level. This is way higher level. We're not pulling God's one-armed bandit. But that's how they see it. I'm not saying we do. So people, it's the perception, church. It's the perception of this. But when you start seeing the face of God in all of the things that are going around on around us in this awakening, you're going to be blessed more and more and more. And you won't reject the move of God, and you won't reject His face. Yeah. It's all about our hearts. It's all about being like Moses, how he was. But you're not going to recognize any of this if you're not hungry. Let me give you a good example. Provision, everybody know what provision is? Yeah. Provision is a sign. Did God provide for you this week?
Yeah.
It was a sign. A sign points to something greater than itself. So in this case, provision points to God the provider. We call him Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. The provision, man, come on in here. The provision, you look at it and you go, oh Lord, thank you. You see that he did it. Oh no, he didn't. I earned this with my sweat of my brow. But see, you just drop back down into the curse. But when you live up in God, these things start happening to you, and He favors you because you're close to Him. He favors you, and you begin to realize that He is the one that's been the provider all this time.
That's right. Amen.
Just stick it out with Him, and it'll get bigger and bigger. Are y'all okay? See, our value system grows from the affection of our hearts. And this is what determines if we'll be motivated to take the time to recognize the signs. People sow and get a harvest and don't even know they got the harvest. People pray for people and never even really know what happened. Because, oh, we'll just do it as an act, yeah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name. But we're releasing our faith on purpose, knowing that we will get results because He has given us power.
That's right.
We want to value who He is more than what He does. It's who He is. We're not religiously motivated. We're relationally motivated. I told the thermostats today, I said, you know, people can just say this, well, you know, Danny and Jordan are so disciplined. They go to work every day and they keep their house and they keep their children and they do all these things. They're so disciplined. No. Out of their love for one another, they do all these things. It's a fruit of the relationship. That's what the fruits of the Spirit are. Self-control is way better than your fleshly discipline. It's a fruit. It comes out of the nature of God, and it comes out of you, and it's a fruit. And it doesn't look like the other self. Discipline. It doesn't look like it. It's different. It's way easier. All those fruits of the Spirit come because of your connection to somebody bigger than you. And all of those fruits of the Spirit are used with the gifts of the Spirit. Well, I'm off on a trail. Let's come back. So Moses saw more than most people got to see. Because his heart was tested and he passed. He passed the test. He learned not to focus on personal success, but on the God who could be known. This God that we have can be known. He can be known as our Father. He can be known as someone who loves us. He's not mean God trying to beat us all up. If you'll straighten up, I'll tell you I might do something for you. No, that was your mother talking a long time ago, see? Y'all straighten up and y'all might get something today. But his love isn't like that. You don't earn his love. It's yours. It's yours. It's totally yours all the time. Well, but we have to be good. Well, you're not being good because of God. You're being good because there's a devil out there and because you don't want to hurt other people. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Power. You know, Moses said he wasn't going unless God went with him into the promised land. Do you realize what he's saying? I'd rather have God in the wilderness than live without you in the promised land. That's a song. You know? He'd rather just have God in the wilderness. Now, we don't have to. We're in the promised land. We need to think about, though, that the God Almighty is in us, giving us this power. You're wall-to-wall power right now. And he's with us, and we can look right in his face. We can sit right in his lap. We can go to the throne. We don't have to stand 20 miles away because it might get us. Yeah, but I better watch out. What if I lied like Ananias and Sapphira? Might just get me. No. Nothing's going to strike you down. The only thing that's going to strike you is the lightning of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to just do you some good. Thank you, Jesus. But I tell you, the glory, as we progress, I'm just going to tell you, it's going to get stronger and stronger. And there are going to be more people in the body of Christ that are start saying no to the evil that's going on. More and more people are rising up saying, no, we're not taking this. No, we're not doing this. It's not just the patriots. It's the body of Christ doing this. And like I told you before, you do this in your atmosphere, not just in Washington. Not just in Austin. You do it in your atmosphere. No, devil. You're not having our schools. No, you are not having Texas.
Amen.
You have the power. What did we talk about last? We talked about authority. Now we're talking about power. And Jesus told us he's given us the power and authority. I will not choose the inferior and lose heavenly realities. I'm not going to do it, and I know you won't either.